content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 11th through Sunday, December 17th. The commentary for the month of December was written by Christine Woodside, a lifelong Episcopalian, writer and editor, wife and mother of two grown daughters. She edits the Mountain Journal, Appalachia, and her new book is called Going Over the Mountain. She lives in Deep Rover, Connecticut, and worships at St. John's Episcopal Church in Essex. The commentary for Monday, December 11th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Psalms, chapter 15, verse 1. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? Today we remember the Reverend Frederick Howden, Jr., chaplain to American soldiers in World War II. He endured the Bataan Death March, helped suffering soldiers pray, and often gave his food to others who were hungry. He died in a prison camp on this day in 1942. As a way to honor Howden's witness and legacy, I invite you to contemplate his life. Think about what it means for a priest who carried no weapons to pray for those who must. Think of the suffering he witnessed. Ponder about how these experiences must have shaped his faith and challenged the ways he knew of leading prayer. Think of the love he showed for all those he helped. And now I'm going to read from the book of Psalm, chapter 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue, and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 11th, is what challenges and opportunities do you think military chaplains face? Include them in your prayers this week. The commentary for Tuesday, December 12th, begins with a passage from the book of Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Here's the commentary. Amos, called by God to speak up about a society becoming corrupt, defended himself to a priest named Amaziah. Amos insisted he had never asked to be a prophet, yet he threw himself into the task once he felt called to do so. He warned about immorality, shallow piety, and treating others unfairly. Amos proved that an ordinary person going about daily work can suddenly hear extraordinary messages and act on them. How much easier it would have been for him to turn away from the nudgings of God. How often do we ignore God's call in our lives? And now I'm going to read the full passage from Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. And the moving forward question for this day is, how can we be more like Amos, willing to act upon God's messages in the world? The commentary for Wednesday, December 13th, begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. An anthem with the words of Psalm 119 runs through my mind as I read today's lesson. Singing has strengthened my faith, and so have the lessons. The lessons I learned while growing up in a church choir. Once during the prayers before communion, when we were kneeling in the chancel, two boys seated in the choir stall behind the girls started handing us things to see what we would do. First, they handed us a pen, then an extra bulletin, then a hymnal. Finally, they handed us a kneeling cushion, and we succumbed to poorly suppressed laughter. After church was over, our director gathered us in the choir hall. He said quietly, "The prayer before communion is the most important part of the service, and today you ruined it for me." We were stunned. Instead of focusing on what we'd done to distract him, he pointed to the service we had been ignoring. In that moment, the director became a teacher, giving me a lifelong lesson about the importance of being attentive in worship and respecting others so they can too. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verses 25 through 48. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts, in your righteousness give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your decrees before kings, and shall not be put to shame. I find my delight in your commandments, because I love them. I revere your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, December 13th, what are some lessons that you have unexpectedly learned? Now let's turn to Thursday, December 14th. It is the feast day of John of the Cross. It begins with a passage from Matthew 23, verses 13 and 14. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. For you do not go in yourselves, and when others are going in, you stop them. In Matthew 23, Jesus condemns religious leaders and scribes, a group of citizens the society respected greatly, for setting so many rules and barriers that no one can live up to them. He exposes them for failing to do what their roles dictate they should, to help people find God. This is a universally human error. All too often we conceal help and guidance from others so that we can hold power over them. Or we withhold something, love, approval, knowledge, material goods, that we know another person desperately wants, just because. God notices, woe to us who do that. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 26. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven, for you do not go in yourselves, and when others are going in, you stop them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross sea and land to make a single convert, and you make the new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by the oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary that has made the gold sacred? And you say, whoever swears by the altar is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on the altar is bound by the oath. How blind you are, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the sanctuary swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by the one who is seated upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may become clean. And the moving forward question for this day is, did you know that Forward Movement, the publication I'm reading from today, donates thousands of resources to hospitals, nursing homes, and prisons? You can learn how you can help at forwardmovement.org/donate. The commentary for Friday, December 15th, begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verse 3. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. I have learned that God is my crag and my stronghold by trying to beat against a rock when I was too tired to climb up it. On a damp, cloudy summer afternoon, I had covered several miles and had more to go. My companions trudged ahead, breathing angrily into the granite face as I considered its height. I wanted to cry. In such moments, I find that nothing I say or cry out will change an immovable thing. Where I walk and explore, rocks define the land. They sit like sentries on either side of the trails. They emerge like teeth out of hillsides. Enormous ledges covered by just a foot or two of topsoil rise to the sky, and I walk on top of them. A rock will not budge. It's that way with God. God is love. God is permanent. I can pound my fists against the ways God works in my life, or I can accept them. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 31, verses 1 through 16. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. And the moving forward suggestion for this Friday, December 15th, is to pray Psalm 31 each day during this week. The commentary for Saturday, December 16th, begins with a passage from Psalm 43, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Mountain climbers are driven to reach the pinnacle, but I believe that desire is driven by more than athleticism. For many, even those who do not consider themselves religious, climbing to the top is a way to experience rarefied air and sometimes enlightenment. There is something about a mountain, far away from civilization, too high to sustain plant life. Many mountain environments could not support humans more than an hour or two. Being up there is a rare and precious, a spiritual encounter with the divine. But you can't live on a windswept open mountaintop. You must come down, at least physically. Mentally, the mountain can stay with you for a long time in the form of decisions you made up there and in your gratitude for a home, running water, beloved family, and fulfilling work. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm number 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, what places, literally and figuratively, are mountaintop experiences? How do you carry those feelings into your day-to-day life? And now as we reach the end of this program and the end of this week, let us turn now to Sunday, December 17th. It is the third Sunday of Advent as we continue to prepare for the Christmas season. It begins with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul's letter to a new church in Thessalonica reminds me to give thanks in all things because this is what God through Jesus wants for us. It's easy to call out thanks and believe that that's an apt expression of gratitude, but to really feel grateful, to truly express thanks, requires that I dig to the root of my life and look at the origins of my blessings. I talk to my husband, says the writer, not so much my little daughters and their spouses. I see our little house, our little yard, my little car, and my little office. I try to give thanks for all of these people, places, and things. And with God's help, I give thanks in all circumstances, even when I don't understand why. Nothing comes from myself. I try to do my part by acknowledging that. And just a little correction here. The writer says, I talk to my husband, my not-so-little daughters, and their spouses, too. She talks to all of them. I just want to clarify that point. Now I'm going to read from the full book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 24. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them from them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, December 17th, is, can you make a list of all the things for which you are thankful? Keep it close at hand and thank God frequently in word and deed. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.